Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest. So let's get started.
Today, my son and co-host Zach Clinton, he's got a special guest. Her name, Dr. Shinwei Williams. Shinwei, by the way, is highly regarded and a trusted keynote and workshop facilitator known to be knowledgeable, competent, and warm. As a board-certified and dedicated mental health professional, Dr. Williams is an authority on topics relating to stress, anxiety, burnout, trauma resolution, the intersection of faith, culture, and mental health, youth, young adult, and as well, women's wellness. She's a licensed professional counselor, board-certified counselor, and a counselor educator and supervisor, and by the way, a certified EMDR therapist. She earned her doctorate in counselor education and practice from Georgia State University, her master's degree in counseling from the University of Georgia. With over 18 years of experience working with adolescents, young adults, adults, professionals, and families, Dr. Shinwei utilizes a warm, thoughtful approach to both counseling and speaking. She's devoted to helping people and teams resolve old, unhealthy patterns of thinking and behaving that prevent them from reaching their full potential. As a result of this solution-focused approach, clients report feeling more empowered to make mindful and intentional decisions about the direction of their life. And with that, let's join my son and co-host Zach Clinton for part two of an amazing interview right here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Can you give us some strategies as to how we can more effectively see our children on the road ahead?
Absolutely. So when we are teaching our kids and even discipling our kids in terms of providing education and information, that is important, and we need to keep doing that. But that activates the left side of the brain. Despair, distress, fear, trauma, anger, all of that happens on the right side of the brain. So to see your child, this is a very practical, but I think, you know, important strategy, holding off on teaching, lecturing, reminding for a moment to really see that emotion. Because oftentimes what we're attending to is those really big, off-putting behaviors. And let me tell you, I've worked with teenagers since the beginning of my career, Now I've got two. They will push every single button, and it's so easy to go into that mode of teaching and correcting and reminding. And again, those things are important. But when a child is experiencing heightened distress, and this could be a 2-year-old or a 22-year-old, what we are noticing in the research and what I do in my therapy room is I meet them right brain to right brain. Yeah. So what that means is really understanding that those emotions feel really big to them. Mm-hmm. And me telling them that, no, that's not going to happen, that fear is not logical, or, oh my goodness, like, aren't you being dramatic? I may be thinking all of those things because I'm human. But that's actually not going to help them in that moment. So what mm-hmm. really helps them is for us to pause, resisting the urge to really say the things that we're thinking or to respond in anger. Research tells us that it just takes 10 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. This is a really important tool. 10 seconds goes from a pause helps us to go from reaction to response. Mm-hmm. And we know that in the psychological research, anger, defiance, and avoidance or withdrawal are three things that really do push a teenage parent's button. But those are also three things that we see in almost every single mental health challenge.
It's so good. Make sure that we pause to actually see what's going on behind or beneath that behavior, right? Actually seeing our kids emotionally. And then you talked about kind of pausing for 10 seconds, right? That reminds me of the third one where you talk about just listen. And you're talking about not just listening with our ears, Chinwe, but also listening with our eyes. And I remember you said that down at the Next Gen conference, and that spoke to me because I was like, man, I do that, right? In my counseling sessions, we learn that in terms of empathy. But do I actually do that in my relationship with my wife and with my family, with my nieces? That's a hard one. Speak to the importance of listening with both our ears and our eyes.
Wow. So we have heard, I love that you just said that. And I think the more that we can be transparent as professionals, like we have trained, you know, we've been trained on this. Yeah. We've read every book. We do it really, really well professionally. But in those really personal relationships, those intimate relationships, there's a lot more emotion and it's high stakes, right? So it takes a little bit more effort and intentionality, but it does work and our families do need it. And I have to remind myself constantly, to respond in the way that I know that works with my teenagers and my adults. So what we know from neuroscience is that communication is not just, you know, verbal, and communication isn't just about, you know, listening in terms of like our two, you know, our ears. 80%, really over 80% of communication is really nonverbal. So neuroscience tells us to be able to connect with another human being, especially when they're in a high state of anxiety or distress, is all about listening to them using our whole body. And so vocal tone is really important. So it's not necessarily about the words that you're saying, it's how you're saying it. So sometimes when I'm talking to families or I'm talking to audiences, I'll give the example of someone saying, "I'm listening." Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel? It's like, "I'm scared." I just said it, and I feel a little bit like, you know, like some tension, right? I'm listening, right? Versus, "I'm listening. Mm. I'm here," you know? And then your audience may not be able to see this if this is audio only, but I also made my eyes very gentle. And there's a way that we can do that. Gentle eye contact helps kids and teens to feel safe. And then if this is a relationship that warrants this, we also know from neuroscience that appropriate, safe physical touch, if this is your spouse, if this is your child, placing your hand on their shoulder, rubbing their back. Some kids don't want that in the moment, right? But some kids and spouses, absolutely, that's their love language. And so lean into that. That helps to what we write in the book. It's a hack that helps to reroute the brain back to that time of secure attachment when they felt nurtured, they felt seen, they felt soothed. Yes. So it's all about creating emotional safety. And so this is what's important about this tool. You want your child to keep talking. So there are three really important words that we write about in the book. I'm just going to share right now. Yeah. Tell me more.
Mm.
Come on, Dr. Chinwe. That's so good because I appreciate you talking about vocal tone. You talk about creating that atmosphere of safety because that's something I appreciate about you just in my interactions with you. You make people feel safe. There's a warmth about you that is very contagious. And, you know, I do believe that is just empathy that just exudes out of you. And so I appreciate that about you. I just wanted you to know that personally. But I also love how you talk about, right, showing up, seeing them, listening, and those are the first three things that you talk about, right? Because I believe that presence is more important than perspective. The fourth one, though, you talk about, which is typically what we want to jump to right away, is speaking life, right? Encouraging, saying things, giving that, you know, point of view. But how you talk about, if you don't do the first three, it could easily fall on deaf ears. Speak to why those three things come before this, but also the importance of how we can better encourage and support our children in the days ahead.
Yeah, 100%. So speaking life was one of those tools that we almost didn't include in the book. Mm. Because it seemed really obvious, know for parents who are Jesus followers, we're pretty good at this. We're
That's
pretty
right.
good at helping our children to know that they are made in the image of Christ. We're pretty good. I know early on I would say to my boys, you know, you are, you know, child of the Most High, and amazing blessings are coming your way. And so scripture is so full of beautiful affirmations of God's goodness and how God feels about his children. And so I think that comes fairly easy to most of us. And so I was thinking as we were kind of, you know, going through all of that, because there's like 100 things that you can do that's wonderful for healthy child development. But, you know, is this one that we really wanted to include? And we all said yes. Our team was like, absolutely. And my teenagers, because part of the research from this book came from me asking the people that I've counseled throughout the years, what was it that someone who loved you, who you know was in your corner, what was it that they did when you were hurting that was helpful? And then what was it that they did when you were hurting that wasn't so helpful? Mm-hmm. And they didn't mean it. It was, in, you know, unintentional, but it left you feeling unseen. And so that's where the bulk of our content came from, honestly, in addition to the research. So what we decided was we're going to put this in the book because of what our teenagers were telling us and because of what we know about culture. 60 to 80,000 thoughts is what we have approximately per day.
Wow.
And 80% of those thoughts are negative. There's negativity coming from pop culture. There's, of course, negativity coming from media and social media. And our kids are getting messages about who they are and who they aren't that leaves them feeling like they're just not enough. So it is so important to fight against that negativity bias, which we know that's a part of, you know, brain development. It's so important to affirm our kids, to validate our kids. Depression and despair cause us to focus on the negative aspects of ourselves and other people. And so it's something that I tell parents, it's just important to do across all phases of life. It's important to do with our spouses. I always say that, you know, my dad isn't, he's a West African educator. He's been a professor, a French professor for 40 years. He's now retired. He's very educated, but just based on how he grew up, mental health really wasn't a thing.
Right.
So he doesn't fully understand the ins and outs of the work that I do. But my goodness, every time I tell him that I'm on a plane or I'm sharing information about youth mental health, he says to me, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. So at my age, you know, hearing that my parents are proud of me helps me to feel seen. Yeah. So speaking life, telling your kid out on that field, gosh, I saw your leadership when the score was going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And everybody's heads were down. I saw that you provided an uplift. I remember a teacher said to me about one of my kids we had a new kid in the classroom, and I could tell that he felt really nervous, and Noah went over there and introduced himself. So sometimes we hear these things and we feel that sense of pride as aunts and uncles and grandparents and parents, but it's really important for our kids to know that you see the gifts that God has placed inside of them. Right, because that helps them to really hone and cultivate those gifts and helps them to feel confident.
I love how Mark Batterson says words create worlds, and we know that they can create worlds of hurt. But what you're mentioning is they can also create worlds of hope and healing, right? So make sure that we speak life into our kids every single day. Every kid deserves an attaboy or an attagirl. I'm proud of you. I love you. I care for you, and I'll always be here. So today, I would love for you to speak into the life of the mom or dad listening who maybe doesn't have the best relationship with their children, maybe feels a little discouraged or disappointed, maybe even disappointed in themselves up to this point. After hearing this, they're like, you know what? There's so much I could have done differently, or there's so much I could be doing now more, and it sounds exhausting. But what's just the last word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you would leave that mom or dad with today?
Oh, thank you so much for this opportunity. So yes, we've all heard about youth mental health being, just challenging. We've seen high rates of despair and anxiety like never before in modern history. And we know what God says, and we know the characteristic of God. God is love. And so I always share that there are approximately 8 billion people that are walking this earth, and God knows and loves each and every one of us. And the word in Luke chapter, I think it's chapter 12, verse 7, says that the Lord can count every single hair on our heads, right? So that's how much he knows us. That's how much he loves us. And God is love. And when we do just one of these things, and see, that's what I always want to caution parents against, is because we hear these things and it feels so big, so overwhelming in a world where we are preoccupied and so much is coming at us and so much is being demanded of us. Yeah. It is very overwhelming to the nervous system. So I always share that when you do one of these things, lean into one that maybe you're already doing, and then just do it with even more intentionality and with even more consistency, and just see how it goes, right? Because God is love. And when we're demonstrating love and kindness and empathy to any one of his children that are hurting, we're then exercising a core part of who he is. So that's number one, just limit it to like one thing. Yeah. And then the last word of encouragement is this word, repair. Mm. Repair. I have talked to too many families, Christian families, who have had ruptures in their relationships with their kids. And usually that happens in the adolescent phase of life. And then the parent, I talked to a pastor not too long ago who said, I haven't even really talked to my teenage son in a year. And they live under the same roof. And I'm sure if you heard their story, you would say the kid was disrespectful, or the kid shouldn't have said that, or the kid should have known the rules. But that really grieves my heart. Yeah. Because talking to that parent who is a pastor, he is hurting. Yeah. He is hurting. And just depending on the culture that we grew up in, the family sort of thoughts and beliefs, we may think that it's not our role as parents to make things right. Mm. But I want to tell you that we need to make things right. And when there's ruptures, which there will be in any important relationship, just know that there's always the opportunity for repair. And repair basically means that after a conflict or after an argument, there is the process of resolving and rebuilding the relationship. And that is a necessary tool for conflict management, for relational management. And when you do initiate the repair, what you're doing is that you're teaching your kids that trust, confidence, and connection in relationships are important. That's something that they can carry with them throughout life. So I just want to encourage any parent that's hurting right now or feels unseen, that just because you are struggling does not mean that you are failing. And God absolutely loves you and sees you in this moment.
That's right. Mom or dad listening, we know you're tired. We know you have so much on your plate. But even if it's just one of those things, showing up, seeing your kids, listening, speaking life, right? Even if it's just limiting it to one, that is more than enough. But then let's go on. And like you said, let's integrate and let's really initiate repair. That's such a powerful word to close us with. Dr. Chinwe Williams, where can our listeners and viewers go to find out more about you, but also to purchase the book that you've referenced several times? Its title is Seen, Despair and Anxiety in Kids and Teenagers and the Power of Connection. Where can we go?
Yeah, so my website is probably the one-stop shop for all of that and just to learn a little bit more about my work, and it's drchinwewilliams.com. And also I'm on Instagram. I'm probably most active on that social media platform, and that's dr.chinwewilliams.
This is Dr. Tim Clinton stepping in. Make sure you go to Chinwe's website or find her online to see all the great work that she's doing. She always brings such helpful insights into what's happening in our culture and how it influences our mental health and the mental health of our children and how we can get back to forming connected, healthy relationships with our kids. As always, on behalf of my son and co-host, Dr. Zach Clinton, thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute. My friend Ed Stetzer has often said, a church without the broken is a broken church. You know, it's clear that the church has often struggled to address complex reasons for why people suffer. One key issue has been a lack of understanding around the differences between sin, mental illness, and spiritual struggles. As a result, misdiagnosis, improper treatment remain all too common at the intersection of mental health and Christian ministry. Christians must remember that physicians, medicines, and even healing remedies were used throughout Scripture. Just as a diabetic needs insulin to stay healthy and someone with poor vision needs glasses to see, those facing mental health challenges may need medication and certainly godly counseling to help heal their hearts and their minds. This has been your Mental Health Minute. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and co-host of Life, Love, Faith, and Family. To learn more, go to aacc.net.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.